And it reminds me of the Thomas Delaney line about facing Ireland. It's like trying to open a can of beans with your bare hands. They're a nightmare to play against.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Cathal Mullany. On the way, we have reaction to all of Monday's domestic action, plus your Manchester United targeting to help solve their goal-scoring woes. But first to the FAI and the news that Mark Hannam has taken the decision to step away from his role as Chief Football Officer. A statement from the association confirmed Hannam's departure this morning, and the statement read, Mark has spent close to 3 years with the FAI and in that time has played a pivotal role in helping to shape the future of Irish football, including the development of our Football Pathways Plan, which provides a clear direction for the continued growth of the game at all levels, from grassroots to professional to international. The statement continued, Mark will continue in his position as he conducts a handover. The recruitment process for a new CFO will commence immediately, and details of an interim plan will be confirmed in the coming weeks to cover the period between Mark's departure and a new CFO being appointed. Mark Hannam himself said in the statement, after much consideration, I have made the decision to leave the association and relocate back to England. This decision has not been an easy one to come to, but I believe that the time is right to explore new personal and professional opportunities for me and my family. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time living in Ireland and working in Irish football, and I am proud of the work that we have put in place to support its long-term development. And there will be much more reaction to Mark Hannam's departure from the FAI across the O2B social channels and on this evening's show with Adrian Barry. But now to yesterday's Dublin derby in Tallaght. Shamrock Rovers led there by 2-0 at half-time, thanks to goals from Josh Hunahan and Michael Noonan shortly before the break. However, Anil Reynolds' visitors bounced back in phenomenal fashion. Dawson Devoy scored with 20 minutes to go before Ross Tierney equalised in the 81st minute. But it was teenager Reece Brennan who gave the Northsiders the bragging rights as his 96th minute winner made it a day to remember for Bulls. Here's their manager Alan Reynolds speaking to Off the Balls' Oisin Coyne.
The game itself, we thought we started off all right. 30 minutes, we were decent, but then counter-attacks, they caught us some problems and scored. So we had done the half-time, and Stevie, in fairness, Stevie O'Donnell spoke a lot about the belief and get one back, and we did. And I felt out the 55 minutes, it started to swing, and I could feel the momentum. And when you lose momentum, which they had, it's very hard to get it back, and Dawson gets us a great goal, and then we go from strength to strength.
Like, how important is it to have a player like Dawson on the field, captain inside, and stepping up? Because that was what ignited the comeback.
Yeah, come here, and he got booked then, you know, which we were disappointed with, and we're worried about him getting sent off. But look, we have fantastic players in there. You know, Dawson obviously is the captain and that, but we've got our Sean Grant, Lee Cavanaugh, all real, real good players. The subs that come on, Niall Moran, they're driving on Collie Whelan. So, look, I know Dawson gets a lot of praise with Rossi, but there's sort of really, look at Reece Brennan coming on, a young lad who's an exciting talent, really quick, and delighted for him.
And it was Ross who got the equaliser. Like, he had so many runs into the channels throughout the afternoon. He could have had more than the goal he got.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was one, I think, just after and that, but he's always a goal threat. He loves the club, like, so I'm delighted for him.
And obviously the equaliser then, like, the relief, I suppose, on the bench. But it just shows kind of that route one still works, like, and it's there's a place for it.
Yeah, come here, put the ball in the box, ask questions, and ball drops, and as you said, anything can happen. So you can play all the nice football you want, but sometimes, as you said, put it in the box and go. So we were sharp, and we the momentum and the confidence came into the players.
We know obviously how big of a result and the 3 points is, but mentally, like, a result like this and a comeback like this to spur on the players for the rest of the season,
yeah,
must be huge.
Yeah, I think the players needed it badly. I think the fans needed a big win. We spoke about, I know we've beaten Cork, and no disrespect to anyone, but it's a big win in the Dublin derby, which we've been after, and now can we go into Daly Mount, which should be rocking on Friday, and really, really go for that one.
Shamrock Rovers are still third in the table, 2 points off the top. Here's the Hoops head coach, Stephen Bradley.
Stephen, obviously not the results you were hoping for today, especially going in at half-time as well. What are your thoughts on the game?
I thought first half we were good. Possibly could have been three up, and we looked quite comfortable in the game. Second half, our quality went down a little bit. And we gave up basic goals from our point of view. Really basic, really poor goals, and it's cost us the game.
It felt like it took maybe a little bit of time for your team to settle into the game, but that kind of 35-40 minute period really kind of took off before half-time.
Yeah, look, in Dublin derbies, they always start nip and tuck. It's always like that. 5 or 10 minutes, it takes a bit for it to settle down. But once I settled down and we got the grips of what the game was and what was in front of us, I thought we controlled it quite well and caused them real problems. And obviously went 2 up, hit the crossbar of the post, and possibly should have been 3. But first half was good.
Obviously then the second half, things took a turn for the worse. Like, what do you put that down to? Obviously one goal, you feel like maybe your team could still stay in it, but to concede another 2, you must be really frustrated with that.
Yeah, we are. We're obviously really annoyed. It's something that we don't do very often, but we've done it today and it's cost us. We made really basic errors in our defending responsibilities and it's cost us today. And you can't do that in any game, but especially Dublin Derbies.
I wanted to touch on Michael Noonan. Obviously, he got the second goal. He's just 16 years old, but he seems to take it all in his stride. Like, he's just such a composed young player. It must be a pleasure to have him.
Yeah, he's great to work with Michael. Like you said, he's 16. He's working extremely hard behind the scenes on his game. He's getting better and better in all aspects. His goal gave it a glimpse of the qualities that you can have in terms of pace, power and quality at the end of it. So, he just needs to stay focused, keep working hard and he'll write a very good story in the future.
Champion Shelburne welcomed John Caulfield's Galway United for a tea time clash at Talca Park on Monday. Ellis Chapman put Shells ahead before Moses Dyer equalised for the Westerners. Meepo Odabeko scored midway through the second half before Dyer got his second to ensure a share of the spoils. Speaking to LOI TV, the Shelburne manager Damien Duff rued his side several missed opportunities in the game.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Mirror on a mirror image to Friday night. Nearly 80% possession. Numerous chances over, 30 shots on goal. You dominate the game for large parts near on start to finish and you get done with 2 sucker punches. So really disappointed. We have to dust ourselves down and go to Tallinn Friday night.
There's a lot of positives to take from that. The energy, particularly from players like Meepo. He made a big impression today, got himself a goal. Will that give him the confidence now to keep pushing on?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a goal and an assist, isn't it? So it's brilliant for him. Really pleased with it. Strikers, I don't ever put pressure on them with stats, goals and assists. It's just their all-round play. And I thought that was really good today from Meepo. Again, mirror image to Friday. Many. Very, very good performances. But then cheap goals given away again.
Fine margins, as you said, for the concession of the goals, especially late on. It's, you know, when you're working during the week, you work on set pieces, do all this kind of stuff. Is there anything that you know you can work on to try and rid those small issues from the game?
Yeah, listen, we work really hard in our defensive setup. I think the goals that we are giving away, there's an air of freakishness and an individual element for sure with them. Like you said, there's an awful lot of positives compared to this time last season. We're better off probably 5 points or so, but not playing as well, not dominating games, but just being killers, the top end of the pitch, and not giving up anything, the defensive third. So, different season, but we'll figure out how to get there.
Drogheda United are top of the league on 20 points, a point ahead of St Patrick's Athletic in second. Those two sides met at Sullivan and Lamb Park on Monday afternoon, where neither side could break the deadlock. The Dogs continue to defy all expectations this season, and their manager Kevin Doherty, speaking to LOI TV after yesterday's game, said it was their best showing so far this season.
Yeah, and I think I told you before the game, I knew the lad would be all right. Sometimes I think teams change for the sake of changing, you know. But I think that's our best performance of the season, I really do. And we've had some obviously great results, but I thought we were absolutely brilliant from start to finish. We started the game with a high tempo press, something that I spoke to the players about over the weekend and particularly today about, I'm not saying we went away from it against Shell, but they had a lot more of the ball and we were a lot deeper against Shell, but I just said we had to get after these and we did. And honestly, how we didn't score or win the game, I don't know. But Pats, as I said, are a really good side as well. And you look at it in clear-cut chances, we probably didn't have loads as well. So probably that tells you why we didn't win the game. But I thought we get into areas, like, into the proper zones. I'm always talking about that, like, for pullbacks or crosses. And then maybe even our decision went their way for once. We might have got something, but look, it doesn't tend to.
Cork City had been without a win since beating Bohemians in late February. They welcomed managerless Waterford Turner's Cross for an all-Munster affair. The Blues had been in front thanks to Thomas Lonergan's second-half strike, but 2 late goals, the first from the penalty spot from Evan McLaughlin and the second from Benny Kudo, gave Tim Clancy's men an important 3 points. Here is Clancy speaking after the game to LOI TV.
Look, not our best performance, but I don't, like, the TT hasn't had a save to make in the game. The goal we conceded was really, really poor. But the positive side of that is, look, they never stopped for the whole 90 minutes. Carl was instrumental in the two goals. It's a good little ball by Rio. And then obviously he gets into the box and cross and he gets taken out, which is the right decision. We get the penalty this week. And then the second goal again, look, you see Rio's just spun one in behind, and the work rate of Cahill and Kit to get it, chase it down, and they win it back, and Cahill sets Kit, and it's a brilliant finish.
Tonight there is one more game in the SSE or Tricity Men's Premier Division. Derry City welcome basement side Sligo Rovers to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium for a 7:45 start. In the First Division, Dundalk remained top after a 1-1 draw at home to Finn Harps. Elsewhere, Athlone Town and Longford Town finished level at a goal apiece. Bray Wanderers beat UCD by 2-0. Wexford were winners over Treaty United by the same scoreline, while it finished Cove Ramblers 2, Kerry 0. Republic of Ireland midfielder Josh Cullen will be back in the Premier League next season. Cullen, who has 42 caps in a green shirt, was part of a Burnley side who were 2-1 winners at home to Sheffield United last night to guarantee their promotion back to the top flight. The Blades did have Ireland striker Tom Cannon on the score sheet, but they now must go through the playoffs if they're to get back to the top division next August. Leeds United will also be back in the big time. Their 6-0 hammering of Stoke City yesterday at Elland Road confirmed their Premier League status for next season.
Soray liep te vroeg in, dat wordt dus blijkbaar als een reden gegeven. Waardoor de penalty mag worden overgenomen. En nu zit hij er wel in.
Troy Parrott slotted his 20th goal of the season from a retaken penalty, but AZ Alkmaar suffered disappointment against Go Ahead Eagles in a dramatic Dutch Cup final in Rotterdam. The Dubliner had given AZ the lead from the penalty spot in the 54th minute, albeit only after a stroke of fortune. His initial penalty effort was saved, but was offered a second chance after a VAR review determined that Eagles defender Matthias Suray had encroached in the penalty area too early before clearing the rebound. Parrott had to come off with an injury before he watched his side ultimately lose that game on penalties. Nottingham Forest took a huge step forward in their bid to reach the Champions League next season last night. They were 2-1 winners away to Europa League semi-finalist Tottenham thanks to goals from Elliot Anderson and Chris Wood. That result puts Forest back into third place, a point ahead of Newcastle in fourth and 2 points ahead of Man City in fifth. They're 3 points ahead of Chelsea and Aston Villa in sixth and seventh respectively. Manchester City are in action tonight. They play Aston Villa at the Etihad Stadium, where kickoff is at 8 o'clock. And finally, The Athletic is reporting that Manchester United have held positive contract talks to sign Wolves forward Matthias Cunha. Ruben Amorim and United executives are aligned on trying to bring Cunha to Old Trafford, and they're taking the first steps, it's understood, in attempting to agree personal terms. The €72.5 million release clause in Cunha's contract makes the parameters of a transfer clear, and while Wolves want payment in full, there is scope for instalments. United have financial regulations to consider, but hope to free space by selling Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, Anthony and Tyrell Malacia. To make sure you don't miss a thing on the OTB football feed, why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join.